there, listeners. Welcome to episode 171 of Never on the Back Foot podcast. This is me, Neha Shetty, and I'm so glad to have you all listening in. This episode previews the upcoming series that features India squaring off against Sri Lanka and will focus on the major talking points and takeaways. India's home international season is scheduled to begin today with the T20I and ODI series against Sri Lanka, a week after their ongoing tour of Bangladesh ended on 26th December. India will host Sri Lanka for three T20Is in Mumbai, Pune and Rajkot on 3rd, 5th and 7th January and three ODIs in Guwahati, Kolkata and Thiruvananthapuram on 10th, 12th and 15th January. Hardik Pandya will lead India in the three-match T20I series at home against Sri Lanka, with Surya Kumar Yadav acting as his deputy, while Rohit Sharma is set to return for the three ODIs that follow. Virat Kohli and KL Rahul are also not a part of the T20I squad, and Shikhar Dhawan has been left out of the ODI setup after a poor run in Bangladesh, where he scored only 18 runs in three innings at a strike rate of 51.42. The BCCI release that followed the selection meeting chaired by Chetan Sharma did not specify which players had been rested, dropped or injured. While KL Rahul is a part of the ODI squad, he hasn't been named vice-captain, with Hardik taking over as Rohit's deputy in this first 50-over series since the tour of England in July. Rahul had recently led India in the third ODI in Bangladesh after Rohit was ruled out with a thumb injury. Ravindra Jadeja did not feature in either squad as he continues his recovery from a knee injury. He last played for India at the Asia Cup in UAE in August-September and subsequently underwent surgery. Jadeja's inclusion for the Bangladesh tour was provisional and he was later withdrawn after the NCA medical staff deemed him not fully fit. The selectors chose a young pace attack for the T20Is against Sri Lanka, with both Bhuvneshwar Kumar and Mohammad Shami, who are a part of the 2022 T20 squad, missing. Shami, however, is back in the ODI setup for the first time since the tour of England in June-July after being withdrawn from the recent tour of Bangladesh because of a shoulder injury. After fetching big money at the IPL 2023 auction last week, UP's Shivam Mavi and Bengal's Mukesh Kumar earned their maiden T20I call-ups. In the latest Syed Mushtaq Ali Trophy, Mavi had picked up 10 wickets in 7 games at an economy of 6.6, while Mukesh Kumar had scalped 6 wickets in 6 matches at 7.04. The T20I squad also features Harshal Patel and Umran Malik, whose most recent T20I was in June against England. Harshal contracted COVID upon his return from New Zealand and was asked to rest from the first two rounds of Ranji Trophy as a precautionary measure. He was subsequently given a fitness clearance ahead of the selection meeting. Another major talking point has been the inclusion of Arshdeep Singh. Now, he is back in the ODI squad after making his debut on the recent tour of New Zealand, but missing the subsequent trip to Bangladesh. He is yet to take a wicket at ODIs after going wicketless in the two matches in New Zealand. Middle order batter Rajat Patidar and spin all-rounder Shahbaz Ahmed are the other two omissions from the ODI squad after the recent series in Bangladesh where neither played a game. Deepak Chahar, who had pulled out of the tour of Bangladesh with a hamstring strain, was also not a part of either squad. At the start of an ODI World Cup year, India begins this home season by hosting Sri Lanka and will be looking to start off well. India's squad for the Sri Lanka T20Is has Hardik Pandya as skipper, Ishan Kishan as wicketkeeper, Ruturaj Gaikwad, Shubman Gill, Surya Kumar Yadav as vice-captain, Deepak Hooda, Rahul Tripathi, Sanju Samson, Washington Sundar, Yuzi Chahal, Akshar Patel, Arshdeep Singh, Harshal Patel, Umran Malik, Shivam Mavi and Mukesh Kumar. To focus on India's squad for the Sri Lanka ODIs, we have Rohit Sharma as skipper, Shubman Gill, Virat Kohli, Surya Kumar Yadav, Shreyas Iyer, KL Rahul, Ishan Kishan, Hardik Pandya as vice-captain, Washington Sundar, Yuzi Chahal, Kuldeep Yadav, Akshar Patel, Mohammad Shami, Mohammad Siraj, Umran Malik, Arshdeep Singh and now Bumrah is also included in the squad. Shikhar Dhawan has been dropped even though he captained the ODI squad when the main players focused on T20Is in the last 2 years. In Rohit's absence in the third ODI against Bangladesh, Ishan Kishan scored that memorable double century. There is also Shubman Gill fighting for the opening slot. One big concern for India as they enter the World Cup year is the unavailability of Prasidh Krishna, who was their point of difference in the middle overs with his height, pace and hard lengths. Prasidh sustained a back injury on the eve of India A series against New Zealand in September and is yet to recover. That is probably why the net has been cast wider in the ODIs. With Mohammad Shami back in the fray, Ashdeep Singh is set to get a run and Umran Malik also can make a name for himself. With Deepak Chahar still recovering from his injury, we have Bhuvneshwar Kumar whose name was not discussed at all, which points to him being dropped. The selectors seem to be settling in on Yuzi Chahal as the sole leg spinner in the white ball squads, which is why Ravi Bishnoi has been released after spending time with the squads last year. Shreyas Iyer and Mohammad Siraj have been given a break for the T20I series and will be back for the ODIs. In an ODI World Cup year, a bilateral T20I series may not have relevance. India and Sri Lanka, though, will be looking at the bigger picture. Having reflected on what went wrong at the 2022 T20 World Cup, it's time to start afresh. While India played a T20I series in New Zealand immediately after the global event, this will be Sri Lanka's first T20I in this cycle. Now for India again, it's a new look side, right? With none of Rohit Sharma, KL Rahul, Virat Kohli, Shreyas Iyer, Rishabh Pant, Ravindra Jadeja, Bhuvneshwar Kumar, Ravichandran Ashwin, Mohammad Shami and Jasprit Bumrah part of the squad for different reasons. That gives them as clean a slate as possible to pen down their T20I philosophy, especially with the bat. With the ball, however, Ashdeep Singh, who made his international debut less than 6 months ago, will lead the pace attack, which comprises Umran Malik, Shivam Mavi, Mukesh Kumar, Hardik Pandya and Harshal Patel. Sri Lanka may have not played a T20I since the World Cup, but they had the Lanka Premier League last month. Even though it was a relatively low-scoring tournament, the players will be primed for the challenge. It's difficult to say which team starts as the favourites. India has the home advantage, but Sri Lanka under Dasun Shanaka has a more settled playing 11 and not to forget their Asia Cup win last year. Last year when India's first choice openers were unavailable, Ruturaj Gaikwad opened the innings with Ishan Kishan during the 5-match T20I series against South Africa in June. While Kishan, thanks to his blazing double hundred against Bangladesh in the third ODI, seems to have the team management's backing for now, this could be an important series for Gaikwad. If India is looking to challenge and, you know, change their whole batting template, he must up his game. And in 2022, only Rashid Khan at 81 has picked up more T20 wickets than Vanindu Hasaranga at 73. The Sri Lankan may not have Rashid's pace, but he possesses a well-disguised googly and can bowl at a lower trajectory, thus making it difficult for batters to get under the ball and execute big hits. In 7 T20Is against India, he has taken 10 wickets at an economy of 6.7. Once again, he will be Sri Lanka's trump card, even without taking into account his lower order batting. If India reunites Kishan and Gaikwad at the top, Shubman Gill will have to wait further for his T20I debut. Meanwhile, Yuzi Chahal, who warmed the bench throughout the 2022 T20 World Cup, could be back in the playing 11. However, he will face stiff competition from Akshar Patel, especially if India opts for more batting depth. Let's look at other talking points, right? Now, Hardik Pandya is India's T20I captain. In Rohit Sharma's absence, Hardik Pandya has once again been appointed as India's T20I skipper. Only time will tell if he is a temporary replacement or whether the elevation is a more permanent promotion as India builds towards the next T20 World Cup. This series is a chance for Hardik to lead without the pressures of winning a major event at short notice, a luxury Rohit did not have. He took over with barely 8 months to prepare for the World Cup in Australia. Hardik has made a strong impression as a skipper so far, ever since he was appointed by the Gujarat Titans ahead of the IPL 2022. While it seemed like an unconventional move, Hardik quickly grew into the role as the tournament progressed. Player security, continuity and role clarity became buzzwords around the group as Titans won the title in their debut season. Since then, Hardik has led India in T20Is in Ireland, West Indies and most recently even against New Zealand, and the chorus for him to take over the captaincy full-time has been growing louder within the Indian cricket circles. This series and the selection for the next one against New Zealand could give us an indication of the possibility of a transition. Hardik also has a new deputy with Surya Kumar Yadav, India's best T20 batter of 2022, getting a promotion to vice-captain. With Ishan Kishan and Sanju Samson, the top order could get a makeover. Now, when Ishan Kishan smashed 56 of 32 on his T20I debut against an England side that featured Sam Curran, Jofra Archer, Chris Jordan, Ben Stokes and Adil Rashid, it appeared as though India had, you know, found a key piece of their T20I puzzle. Kishan went on to be a part of India's 2021 T20 World Cup squad, but quickly faded away. An underwhelming IPL 2022 season did not help his cause. Even though he continued to feature in the second string Indian squads, this series will present an opportunity to make a mark. That ODI against Bangladesh, Kishan may have not played that match had Rohit been fit. But now, he is bound to get a longer run at the top of the order, especially with Rahul likely to be on personal leave for the New Zealand series too, that is after this series. Like Kishan, Sanju Samson could get a run of successive games against Sri Lanka and New Zealand. If he does, it will surpass the streak for the longest streak of consecutive games. Three T20s he's had for India since his debut in 2015. The sixth highest run scorer in the IPL over the past three seasons, Samson can bat anywhere in the top six. That shows his flexibility. He can keep wickets, attack from the start, and is an excellent player of spin. His perceived inconsistency has hindered his progress, but that could be the result of constant uncertainty over his selection as well. In the 16 T20Is, Samson has a lone half century of 42 balls 77 against Ireland. This series could be the opportunity for him to get not just more games, but also a chance to bat in that top order where he can be at his destructive best. India will also have a new opening combination for this series, with Kishan likely to team up with either Shubman Gill or Ruturaj Gaikwad in Pant's absence. Gill has not yet played a T20 international and is coming off of a Syed Mushtaq Ali tournament in which he scored 260 runs as an opener at an average of 52 and an impressive strike rate of 156.62. Gaikwad's numbers are similar, 295 runs at an average of 59 and a strike rate of 146.7. And he has not played a T20I for India since the tour of Ireland in July last year. Will India be able to find that explosive opening combination that they've been searching for is a pertinent question as we head into the series. Let's also reflect on Washington Sundar's presence in the squad. Now, with Washington Sundar fully fit, India's all-rounder stocks look healthy for the home series, with Deepak Hooda and Akshar Patel to choose from as well, in addition to Hardik. Washington played only one T20I on the tour of New Zealand, but I think his ability to bowl in the power play and his ever-improving batting skills really gives India a lot of options. His scores of 37 not out of 16 balls in that ODI against New Zealand and that 51 and 37 in ODIs versus Bangladesh really presents him as an interesting case. This series can also present Arshdeep the chance to lead the bowling attack. Now, Arshdeep Singh basically started as what? A power play specialist? But his responsibilities have grown in Jasprit Bumrah's absence. His ability to nail the Yorker and his calm temperament has made him an asset in the death overs, and currently he is the only left-arm pacer in India's T20I plans. He was India's best bowler at the 2022 T20 World Cup, where he took that 4 for 37 in the tied third T20I in New Zealand in November. Now, along with Harshal Patel, Arshdeep will spearhead that pace attack, which comprises of rookies, Umran Malik, Mukesh Kumar and Shivam Mavi. With India keen to develop wicket-taking options in the middle overs, Malik could play his first international at home. All his 5 ODIs and 3 T20Is so far have been outside India. Let's also talk about Sri Lanka. Now, Sri Lanka has announced a 20-man squad for the limited overs tour of India, where they will square off in 3 T20Is and 3 ODIs. Of those players, Banuga Rajapaksha and Nuvanthu Tushara will play only in the T20Is, while Jeffrey Vandersay and Nuvanthu Fernando are in line to make their debut. They will take part in the ODI leg of the series. Dasun Shanaka will captain both the sides, with Vanindu Hasaranga and Kusal Mendes his deputies in T20Is and ODIs respectively. Three players, Dhananjaya Lakshman, Asita Fernando and Dinesh Chandimal, have been excluded from the squad that hosted Afghanistan last month. Chandimal, though, may count himself unlucky, having been one of the better performers in the recently concluded Lanka Premier League. He was the third highest run scorer in the tournament, averaging 31.8 and was striking at 126, and had played a key role in Colombo Stars' run to the finals. By contrast, Rajapaksha can fill his inclusion under fortunate. Following a series of uninspiring displays, his retention in the T20I squad follows an LPL in which he scored just 95 runs across 7 innings. This was far below his career strike rate of 135. The rest of the inclusions, however, have earned their keep. Chamika Karunaratne, who was dropped for the Afghanistan series following a lean stretch both on and off the field, rediscovered his groove in the LPL. The 26-year-old all-rounder picked up 7 wickets in the tournament and he scored 109 runs. He struck them at an impressive strike rate of 162, a significant uptick from his career strike rate of 104.27, and that provided glimpses of what a finisher he can be. Avishka Fernando, who returned to action this month following nearly a year out with the knee injury, hasn't skipped a beat, top scoring in the LPL with 339 runs and spearheading yet another Jaffna Kings title charge. The same could be said for his teammate Sadira Samira Vikrama, who has been named player of the tournament for his 294 runs, second only to Fernando, and was a linchpin in that middle order. Like Samira Vikrama, Nuvanidhu is another batter that caught the eye in LPL. Even if he's a little rough around the edges, this will be an interesting series for him. Nuvan Tushara has been another exciting pick as he scalped 14 wickets, the second highest in this year's LPL at an economy rate of 7.4. His low slinging action has unsurprisingly brought comparisons to Lasith Malinga. But while Tushara lacks the latter's pace, he has now begun incorporating an impressive amount of control and variety to his repertoire. With Kasun Rajita, Pramod Madhushan, Dilshan Madhushanaka and Lahiru Kumara, the other seamers in the squad, Tushara will undoubtedly face stern competition in the starting 11, though his unique skill set could bode well in his favour. In the ODIs, Madhushanaka's left arm swing provides a key differential. In the spin department, it'll be Hasaranga and Mahesh Tikshana as the first choice pairing, though in Vandasay lies an able 50-over deputy. Dunid Velalage, meanwhile, showcased during the LPL his ability to hold down one end with his slow left arm spin. While most of Sri Lanka's decision-making will therefore boil down to is in the batting, right? Now, Shanaka, who hasn't had the most encouraging time with the bat lately, will lead a unit that's brimming with potential. In Pathum Nisanka, Kusal Mendes and Avishka, Sri Lanka has 3 in-form players who are vying for 2 spots right at the top of the order. If Avishka is pushed down to number 3 to accommodate the former 2, a pair that has built a good understanding over the past few months, that would bring a middle-order headache. Charit Asalanka, Dhananjaya D. Silva, Ashwin Bandara, Samara Vikrama, Shanaka and Rajapaksha will be fighting for the 3-4 spots, with all-rounders such as Karunaratne and Hasaranga filling out the lower middle-order spots. With planning for the 2023 World Cup starting now, selectors will no doubt see this India tour as a marker for how the team will come in October. Let's also talk about the recent BCCI review meeting. Now, the BCCI on Sunday held a review meeting of the Indian men's cricket team in Mumbai, which was attended by a host of BCCI bigwigs. President Roger Binney, Secretary Jay Shah, Skipper Rohit Sharma, Head Coach Rahul Dravid, Head of Cricket at the National Cricket Academy VVS Lakshman, and Chairman of the Senior Selection Committee Chetan Sharma attended it. Among the key points of discussion in the meeting was reviewing India's performance at the T20 World Cup, which saw the men in blue crash out in the semi-finals after being handed a 10-wicket drubbing by eventual champions England. Other issues such as player availability, workload management and fitness parameters were also discussed at length. Here are the major takeaways from that review meeting. Now the yo-yo test will return. As per a BCCI press release, the yo-yo test and DEXA will now be a part of the selection criteria and implemented in the customized roadmaps of a central pool of players. The yo-yo test is basically an endurance fitness test that involves running between markers placed 20 meters apart at increasing speeds. The test was introduced when Virat Kohli had the reins of the Indian cricket team initially and they had a qualifying score of 16.1 that was later increased to 16.5. Apart from the yo-yo test, DEXA, which is a bone scan test, is also going to be a part of the selection criteria now. In other news, 20 players too have been shortlisted for the ODI World Cup. Now, BCCI has already shortlisted 20 potential players who can be seen forming the India squad for the 2023 Men's World Cup. The BCCI will closely monitor these players who will be rotated accordingly in order to prepare them for the showpiece event, where India will look to end their ICC trophy drought. The players might even have to sit out for a few IPL matches. The BCCI stated that keeping in mind the men's FTP and preparations for this World Cup, the NCA will be working in tandem with the IPL franchisees to monitor targeted Indian players who will be participating in the IPL 2023. The meeting also took some crucial calls regarding the future composition of the Indian cricket team and decided that emerging players who are prioritizing white ball cricket for IPL riches over red ball cricket will be required to play a substantial domestic season to be eligible for national selection. India dearly missed the services of Jasprit Bumrah during the Asia Cup and the T20 World Cup due to injury. Deepak Chahar also kept coming in and out of the team despite spending a significant amount of time at the NCA. Keeping this in mind, specific attention will be given to workload management, with NCA also playing a key role in monitoring players' fitness. After the World Cup defeat, the entire selection panel of the Indian cricket team was sacked, but Chetan Sharma, a member of the sacked panel, attended the meeting. He has reapplied for the job with Harvinder Singh, another member of the sacked panel. Last but not the least, despite both Rohit Sharma and Rahul Dravid not being able to provide the desired results which was expected of them, there won't be any change in personnel. Quoting a source that was close to the development, Sportstar reported how the board reviewed the performances in 2022 and also discussed the road ahead, but there were no specific discussions on changes in personnel. With this, we draw curtains on our discussion. Thank you so much, listeners, for tuning into this episode and for your unstinted support. Please follow and press the bell icon on Spotify and subscribe to the podcast on Google Podcasts for the latest episode updates and stay tuned. Do check out @NeverOnTheBackFoot on Instagram and @NeverOnTheBackFoot on Twitter for the latest facts, terminology, retweets, fresh tweets, and a lot more that's coming up this cricket season. The podcast is also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, Overcast, and a lot of other platforms. So please do spread the word. Until next time, stay safe and take care, listeners. Bye for now.